Grant, we beseech thee, that by venerating the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, we may ever experience within us the effect of your redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Just last night, I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on for today, and I decided that I'd go for a walk and say the rosary, which I was hoping that Our Lady would inspire me as to maybe put a couple thoughts in my head, maybe. And as I was walking around late last evening praying the rosary, I was really struck by the beauty of the evening. The sun was setting, the temperature was very pleasant, the wind was just a little breeze that felt really nice. And it's all extremely beautiful to be there, just walking around praying the rosary. And that's when it struck me at that moment. And I really started to reflect upon that point. It's very beautiful right now what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing in this little walk of mine. But in reality, that is absolutely nothing in comparison to what we are experiencing here today. That is just a drop in the great ocean of wonderfulness of our Lord. You see, because those things that we see, those wonderful things that we experience, He is the creator of all of it. He is infinitely greater than anything we can experience. And this idea of the whole universe around us is nothing in comparison to what we see in that little tiny white host. Because of our faith, we know that to be God. We know it to be Christ. And we know that God loves us so much, He wants to be with us so much, that at the simple command of a lowly priest, He comes down from heaven to earth to be here in the flesh for us to adore. Anytime we want to. Anytime we come to the church, He's here waiting for us. And it's not difficult to see with this in mind why all the greatest things are reserved for the liturgy. That's why during the Mass we use this beautiful chalice made of gold and silver to honor our Lord, because we use the greatest of metals and the most beautiful of art to adore our Lord in for the Holy Sacrifice. That's why we have beautiful tabernacles and monstrances to house our Lord. That's why we have beautiful music to go along with the liturgy to praise our Lord. And that's why some of the most beautiful buildings in the world are the churches. Because if we're going to do something for God, we have to always strive to do it as best we can. He deserves to have everything that we can give Him. And with that idea of all these beautiful things, is when we look into the history of the world and so many towns throughout Christendom, when they were built, what did you see? You saw in the very center of the town, the church building, the spires reaching up very high to heaven, and then all the houses and all the buildings built around it, with the church always being the tallest. So if you were coming into that town, what's the first thing you would see? The first thing you would see is that steeple with the cross upon the top of it, and that beacon of grace, the beacon of light showing you exactly where God was in that town. Because that's what was most important. God was the most important to the life of whatever town you were going into. It didn't matter where it was. God was the center of it all. And now we look at our own society and see how backwards we are, how much our priorities have changed in society. If the church was the tallest building in town because God was the most important, we need look not any further than any city around us to see what's the tallest buildings now. The banks, because what's most important to people? Money. material things. God is pushed back to the back burner. No longer is he the main focus of mankind. And because of that, we see why society suffers so much. Think of, let's just use Cincinnati as an example for how far things have gone in society because of the loss of focus on God as its center. Cincinnati has about 300,000 people within the city limits. And of that, take last weekend for instance, 10,000 people went to the Taste of Cincinnati to have some food down by the river. 38,000 people went to a Reds game. When football season's in swing, 60,000 people can go to a football game in Cincinnati. And with all those thoughts in mind, how many of us are here today to see God Almighty there on display before us? How many of us come to do our duty every week on Sunday to worship and adore the true God, the one and only God, the creator of all around us, and ourselves included? So few in comparison. We have been given a wonderful, wonderful gift. We have God here with us, and we know it. But only if more people would realize this, how much honor we could give God if more and more people came to realize the truth of the faith, realize the truth of the Blessed Sacrament, and come and fall on their knees where they deserved and where they should be, and adore our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. If only people would realize that if they put the Eucharist, God Almighty, as the center of their life, then his providence would guide them and protect them throughout their entire lives. It reminds me actually of a story that I was reading recently that of Queen Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. And she, obviously, by the name, with saint in her name, she was very holy and pious as a queen. And she had under her care several different pages, as they were called, basically servants. And she treated them very well and very respectfully, of course, but they were there to serve the queen and the king and to do the things that they needed to delegate for duties. And so there's this one page amongst them all, and he was extremely devout. He was very, very holy Catholic man. And because of that, the queen favored him. She sent him on all the important errands. She sent him to do the most important of tasks, and she trusted him more than anybody else in the kingdom. And so this page was seen by all to be in this high regard by the queen. So one of his fellow pages, another servant in the house of the king and queen, became very jealous because of that. They didn't want to see this other man succeed so well while he was left with the menial tasks, the smaller duties, and without the trust of the court of the king and queen as this other page had. He became very jealous in his heart. And so he decided that he was going to do something to put an end to it. And so he went to the king instead of to the queen. He went to the king and then told the king all these lies about his fellow page, the Holy One. He told him all these lies. He smeared his name all across the place and led the king to believe that this man was very wicked and that he was trying to deceive and steal from the crown, the king and queen. And so the king decided that this was treason and that it needed to be dealt with, and it needed to be dealt with in the most harsh of ways. So he decided that this page needed to be put to death, but he couldn't do it publicly because it would upset his wife. So he decided to do it privately. He contacted a man who made glass. And if you know anything about glass, you have to put sand into a furnace that's so hot it melts it and turns it into glass. And so he sent a message to this one glassmaker and said, on this certain day, I'm going to send a page to you. And he's going to come to you and ask you if all of the king's requests have been fulfilled. And when he asks you this, pick him up and throw him into the furnace to put him to death. And so that day comes along, and he takes the page and tells him, go to this glassmaker and go into him and tell him that you need to know if all the king's requests have been fulfilled. And so the page dutifully goes. He was sent earlier in the morning, and he goes along the way. It's a long journey. And as he's going through the town, he comes before the church, and he hears ring out the church bell, signifying that the consecration has just taken place. And the page always made it a point that if he were to come across a church when our Lord was present upon the altar during the Mass, then he would always stop in and adore our Lord to the end of the Mass. So he did so. He went to the church, knelt down, and adored for Mass. Then he realized also that he hadn't been to Mass on that day, and he was a daily communicant. So he stayed for another Mass so that he could be part of an entire Mass. Meanwhile, back in the kingdom, the king hadn't heard anything from the glassmaker, and he was starting to get nervous, as oftentimes happens. If you do something wrong, you know, then you get nervous about whether it happened or not, or whatever it may be. The king started to get nervous, so he called the other page, the one who had told the king all the bad things about the first page, and said, go to the glassmaker and find out if he did what I had asked him to do. And so the page goes off, and little known to him, but all according to divine providence, he goes and walks past the church in which the first page was still kneeling and praying, adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. He walks by all the way down to the glassmaker, gets there, asks him if the king's requests had been fulfilled. The king picks up the evil page and throws him into the furnace, as the king had demanded him to do. And then the second page walks along, gets to the man, asks if the king's requests had been fulfilled, and the glassmaker, thinking the request being of throwing the first page into the fire, says yes, and sends the good page along his way. And he comes back to the king and tells him that everything's been fulfilled, and the king immediately recognizes the hand of divine providence in it all, and that this page is actually very pious. So you see, if we put devotion to God and devotion to the Blessed Sacrament first all the time in our lives, then there's no way that the hand of God's providence is not going to guide us. It doesn't mean that life's not going to have its difficulties. Of course it will. But God's providence will always guide us along the way. We have been given this wonderful gift. We are one of the small few places that actually have our Lord here every single day for us to be able to come and to worship. Don't let it pass you by. Don't take it for granted. Don't miss out on that opportunity for grace. As often as you come, visit our Lord. Even if it's just for a minute, to come into the church, to kneel down, and just to show him how much you love him, how much you adore him. It's those little acts of faith, those little acts of love, and those little acts of adoration which are so huge in the eyes of our Lord. And it's those little acts which our Lord will use to guide us and to bring us to heaven, where we will be able to adore in the presence of our Lord in paradise for all eternity. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.